the Zone. We only have now, see, like a little bit ago, I was like, oh my God, we have 2 hours left, and all of a sudden we only have 24 minutes left, and I'm thinking, gee, where'd the show go?
Where, that unbelievable birthday trivia.
Seriously, Hello? Where did it go? Where did it go? We go right to the Stickies hotline where there's cool stuff going on all weekend.
We're going to have tickets to next Wednesday's show. I forget what the guy's name is, but it's a real cool guy.
Is it Barrett Salee?
It's not Barrett Salee. He's almost as cool as Barrett.
Barrett Salee bringing his banjo to town. He'll be singing
some other dude.
Stickies on Saturday night next week. It'll be big time. He joins us now on the Stickies hotline from BleacherReport.com. Hi, Barrett.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Oh, I'm staying out of trouble, getting ready for a rather interesting week this week. It's not going to be like Alabama A&M, but it's still a pretty good week, I think.
Yes. So what were your takeaways, and where is Johnny Manziel in your Heisman list now?
Number one right now.
Yes, sir.
Sure. After what he did against Alabama, that was impressive even in a loss. It wasn't his fault that they lost that game. I think against SMU, he's going to put up, video game numbers. He is a magician. He's so much fun to watch. He forces every scheme that someone comes up with to stop him. He renders it basically useless because he's so creative. He's on a different level than all of us, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, I would like to go back in time about 3 or 4 months and take myself and slap myself for saying that Jekyll's departure and Kingsbury's departure would make a huge difference. It turns out Johnny Manziel's still a freak, and he's really good. So, duh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
But
no, it's a lot of fun. I as much as people want to criticize the guy for off the field stuff or whatever, I mean, on the field, I don't know how you're not entertained watching him play.
Oh, he's so much fun.
Zach Mettenberger is not as good as Johnny Manziel, but he is improved. Is he improved enough to give LSU a good shot to win the West this year?
Yes, absolutely. 9 touchdowns, 0 picks. He only threw 12 touchdowns all last season. He definitely has improved a lot. And if you go back and watch all those games, and granted, Kent State was a cupcake, so was UAB, and honestly, TCU is not nearly as good as a lot of people, including myself, thought they'd be, but he looks like he has complete command of the game. He understands what Cam Cameron's going to call before Cam Cameron calls it. And that offense with all those running backs, the thing about LSU is that they've had a different player lead the team in rushing in each of their first two games, and not one of those guys is named Alfred Blue. And he's their best running back, better than Jeremy Hill. So it's a really interesting team because defensively, I think the way John Chavis runs that defense, they don't really necessarily get impacted by roster attrition because that defense is, allows the athletes to go be athletes more than, say, Alabama's.
Right.
So that's why they continually have, success year after year after year. And so, yeah, they're definitely going to be in the mix. At this point, I would have to say that LSU is looking the best of any team in the West based on the first 3 weeks of the season.
That's big praise for them. Barrett Salee joining us, BleacherReport.com. Missouri, still undefeated. Missouri with a pretty good challenge this weekend on the road to Indiana. I never thought I would use the phrase good challenge in Indiana in the same breath, but there I am. So does Missouri stay perfect as the last perfect East team after this week?
I think they do. Indiana's a good team, though. I mean, Indiana, they don't have a lot of defense, but they can move the football. I think they're 8th nationally in total offense.
They scored 70 points in a single game. They went whole seasons without scoring 70 points not too long ago.
There were SEC teams that didn't do that all year last year. it's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a shootout. I think it's one that, Missouri, after what happened with Toledo, because that game was a little closer than it probably should have been, but they've had 2 weeks to stew on it. I think they've got enough tape of themselves to self-scout and fix what the problems were specifically defensively. But I tell you what, that defense, EJ Gaines and Coney Healy, some of those guys, they're going to have their work cut out for them because that's a really, really good football team.
Barrett, when we started the season, we knew Ole Miss would be better, or we assumed as much, under Hugh Freeze with another year for him to settle in. Some nice returners coming back, including Jeff Scott, who had a big punt return last week for a touchdown, and Bo Wallace another year under his belt. We were talking about can they be in maybe 4th in the West. Now we start thinking can they win 8, 9, 10 games this year?
Yeah, I picked them 3rd in the West. I picked them to tie with Texas A&M and actually beat Texas A&M heads up and earn that tiebreaker for 3rd. So, they're legit. I think, we're talking about Jeff Scott from last week because of what he did, but, next week we could be talking about Laquan Treadwell or Dante Moncrief or, whoever. They've got players. They've got players that fit that system. They've got players that that understand where they need to be. And defensively, there are some issues. I think Denzel Kandichi's injury is a problem. But, they're a 9-win football team. They could win 10 games. Think about this. Before the season, we were talking about Ole Miss perhaps, having a rough, you know, go of it in the first, you know, 6-7 games of the year, they really are 3-0. And so that, you know, I think bodes well for the future. And they're a veteran group. They know how to win. They were on the brink last year, and I think they do get to that 9-win plateau. It's a good football game.
It's LeeBleachReport.com joining us in the zone. If you were going to pick another Heisman candidate from the SEC from the first few weeks, in addition to Manziel, who else would you put in there? I guess McCarron would probably be in the mix, maybe another name.
Todd Gurley. I had Todd Gurley number 3.
Okay.
Todd Gurley, I think with what he, you know, he's basically Trent Richardson. He's big enough to be an absolute bruiser, being every down back, a guy that can take control of a football game, but he's fast enough to be a home run hitter. And the way that offense is predicated off him, it's not like it's Todd Gurley. Defenses have to respect Aaron Murray. So as a result, you know, Todd Gurley, you know, no matter what he does, it's hard for a defensive coordinator to stack the box and stop him, because that defensive coordinator knows that Aaron Murray's about to run a play action and hit somebody for a touchdown. So Todd Gurley through 2 games, I think, has proven not only to be a Heisman contender, but I think one of the Heisman favorites. He, I think, will be in New York, especially if Georgia keeps winning and goes on to win the East.
Barrett, we found out on the Magic Twitter machine from the SEC teleconference that Brandon Allen is going to make the trip to Rutgers. Whether or not he plays remains to be seen. It sounds like Nova is going to play for Rutgers as well. How do you see that matchup, and how much of a difference does your take look without Allen playing versus with him on the field?
It doesn't change. I'm still picking Arkansas to win, but it would be helpful if Brandon Allen played.
Yeah.
The thing with Arkansas, they can be two-dimensional with Jonathan Williams and Alex Collins. They can, you know, mix things up and just be a solid, you know, ground-and-pound team with those two guys. But, Brandon Allen playing would be helpful because, you know, A.J. Derby did not look like he was up for the challenge against Southern Miss when he was in the ballgame. So, it's a huge game, and I think for Arkansas, they have to win that game to go to a bowl game, because they're not winning any of the next 4, and they still have Ole Miss and LSU on the schedule after that, and then Auburn, who all of a sudden is 3-0. So, you know, they have to beat Rutgers. Otherwise, it's going to be a long season. And if Brandon Allen can go, I think they win rather handily. But if he doesn't, I think, you know, Alex Collins and Jonathan Williams are able to do enough to get them a really, really, really ugly win.
Have you seen? I saw just some highlights from the Fresno game. Have you seen much of Rutgers this year?
I watched the Fresno game because it was on like late night the first night, but that's the only game I've seen, and they looked all right. I mean, you know, Gary Nova, you know, being healthy helps, but they look like Rutgers. They're a standard, you know, I think the way that they've always been, you know, sort of formatted. They're a decent rushing attack with a quarterback that knows where to get the ball and knows how to get the ball downfield and takes the shots when appropriate. And if you do that, if you're smart, you can win any game.
Who's going to be the best running back on the field Saturday in that game?
Alex Collins, by far. Alex Collins, if he wasn't a true freshman and had played somewhat decent competition, he might be in my Heisman ranking.
Wow.
He's that good.
So tell me about, have you seen the Rutgers kid run much? Because he's got gaudy numbers.
Yeah, I just saw him in the Fresno State game, and he's okay. You know, that's the extent of that I've seen him. I haven't really done a whole lot of scouting on Rutgers yet, but I'll take a look at one of their games on ESPN3, I think, tonight. So, they're a good football program themselves. Like, honestly, you know, Arkansas knows about Rutgers. You know, I don't think they're taking Rutgers lightly because of what happened last year. So, it's an interesting test for sure.
Anything else come out of the teleconference today that was notable?
Not really. Butch Jones still hasn't decided on a quarterback, which is dumb. if you talk about making a quarterback change 3 games into the season when your quarterback's 2-1, I think you're doing it wrong.
Who they lose to?
Oregon.
Is Oregon any good?
Last time I checked, Justin Worley did not give up 59 points in that game.
I'm almost sure of it. You know what's funny? I was telling people on Monday, I was in Tennessee over the weekend. I was covering Central Arkansas. We were on our way to Martin, and we stopped in Jackson at a sports bar. And right before kickoff, they shut everything down, and they played Rocky Top over the loudspeaker with 400 people singing along. It was the craziest thing. I've never been in a sports bar where they play the fight song before the team's game start. It was actually kind of cool. I think everybody should do it, but it was very unique. And I kind of got caught up, and I'm thinking, and like for the first 3 minutes, it looked like Tennessee was going to make it interesting, and then they give up 50, and then it wasn't any fun. But anyway, I thought that was kind of weird.
That is interesting about the sports bar. I've been in that situation a couple times. But
I mean, we'll call the Hogs at any. I mean, we've called the Hogs in the most inappropriate. I mean, I've seen the Hogs called at a funeral. We called the Hogs at a Jimmy Buffett concert. I mean, we could call the Hogs all the time, anywhere.
Any restaurant.
But to play the fight song over the loudspeaker of the bar, I thought was wild. So, anyway.
That's pretty solid. I like that.
It didn't work. So there's that. They didn't make any tackles on Mariota because of the fight song, but anyway.
Yeah, that was a debacle. I mean, again, that's a panic move by Butch Jones to be talking about changing a quarterback after that game. You know, granted, Justin Worley hasn't been great, but do you really want a new quarterback on the road against Florida, the best defense in the SEC?
Yeah, good point.
I mean, come on.
Do you travel around every weekend, or do you pick your spots?
I pick my spots. I like my home office. I went to the Chick-fil-A game. I think I'll go to LSU, Alabama. I think I'll go to maybe LSU, Georgia next week, and then maybe the cocktail party in Jacksonville. Just so I can avoid paying a hotel room because my dad lives down there. But I pick and choose. I like sitting at home. Sitting at home is way better than
I understand
here.
That it may not be convenient, but I do suggest that you consider at least coming and watching Johnny Manziel get his comeuppance in Fayetteville in a couple of weeks, because we're going to throw a whale of a party prior to the game. So if you want to come and watch Johnny Manziel, he's either going to clown or something weird's going to happen. I have the funniest. He's either going to do something crazy like throw for 800 yards, or we're going to win somehow in some fluky play. So
he
I think
may do both. What that happen?
That would be awesome. I think you should be there for it. So if you want to come, we'd be happy to show you a good time in Fayetteville.
I appreciate it, and I'll see what I can convince the higher-ups if I can get out there. You know, Johnny Manziel's a draw no matter where he goes.
Right.
If I say I want to follow Johnny Manziel around campus for a week, they'll probably say, okay, go do it.
Well, when Arkansas beats them, you're going to feel pretty dumb if you're not there, and I don't want you to feel that way, so... Because we really like it.
Speaking of dumb,
judging from Twitter, I feel dumb a lot because a lot of people don't like it, but that's okay.
There is a another national sports writer who just is poking at fan bases all over the country. I'm sure you're familiar with Clay Travis. He picked Arkansas the fourth dumbest fan base in the SEC, or in the nation, rather. Which fan base gives you the most grief on your Twitter?
Who do you think is going to be 1, 2, and 3?
Oh, who's going to be 1, 2, and 3?
Can I get my answer first? Do you mind?
Quit
hijacking my question.
You talked the whole time, 11 minutes and 36 seconds.
Don't make
seconds.
Me shut your mic off. First of all, to my point.
Answer Justin, King Justin.
Which one
question.
Do you think is, which fan base gives you the most grief on Twitter?
Most grief on Twitter probably Arkansas people, to be honest.
Okay, then.
Great answer.
So who do you think is the dumbest fan base? Because Arkansas is no better than 4, apparently.
Yeah, we're only 4.
You know, I would say Alabama, but they sort of accept their little quirks. I don't know. Like, Clay's a weird dude. Maybe Texas, because they only now realize.
We didn't guess Texas. We guessed Alabama, and I said the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cubs are just...
See, I think Cubs are going to be in the top 3.
But I don't want to have to turn both your mics off.
Hey, whoa. I just took 20 seconds. Go ahead. You get the next.
You know what? That was the worst 20 seconds of the whole interview.
That's Barrett, right. 12 minutes, and I got 20 seconds of it.
Barrett,
Cubs
awesome.
Cubs fans are a sad breed. This is coming from a Braves fan. It's been a long... I've been alive since the 80s and had season tickets during the 80s.
Listen, you don't know anything about what I've been through as a Cubs fan. How dare you, as an Atlanta Braves fan, even compare the two? I mean, you steal Greg Maddux from us. You win divisions like 45 times in a row. You have no clue what we've been through.
We welcomed him with open arms because he wanted to get out of that disaster known as Wrigley Field.
Well, he didn't. What happened was the stupid Cubs wouldn't open their pocketbook for some. I don't know what they were saving their money for. I guess the fact that the guy won a Cy Young wasn't near enough. But the Cubs are dumb in so many ways.
Then they opened the pocketbook for Alfonso Soriano. That worked out well.
Today is Ryan Sandberg's birthday. You know who I really miss? One of my favorite all-time Cubs. Was Schwan Dunston. Talk about the greatest names in history. There's never been another guy on the planet named Schwan, S-H-A-W-O-N. And then he had Ryne Sandberg turning the double plays with him. It was good stuff. They didn't do it near enough.
My Little League glove was a Schwan Dunston Rawlings.
I
had it for like 6 years. It was fantastic.
Schwan Dunston, awesome. All right, Barrett, good stuff. I didn't know we'd work in some baseball talk today. That's good.
Thanks, Barrett. It was great. My 15 seconds with you was amazing. Thanks.
I get that a lot. Thank you.
Wow.